Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Live Magically. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Steve Noble. But before I do this, I just wanted to take a little bit of time up front to share how this call will work this evening. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Steve a whole variety of different questions on our topic of how to live magically. Some of the questions will be my own personal questions, but the vast majority of questions will actually be those that have come in through the site. Now, please do be on the listen for your own question, but if you don't happen to hear your question being asked, do listen to the questions of others, because you may actually find that your question is answered in someone else's question. Great. So I think I've known Steve Noble for around about 4 years, or just over 4 years now. And when Steve actually entered my life, I guess I was going through a transition myself. Like, I'd spent probably the good part of 8 or 9 years working in the corporate world, and that whole way of living just wasn't working for me anymore. So I decided to make a clean break. And as soon as I made that decision, Steve Noble mysteriously entered my life, and I have to say it really hasn't been the same since. And I guess over the last 4 years, our friendship's grown, and we've worked on a variety of different projects. So I've had the opportunity to see Steve's work from a variety of different angles, from being like a coaching client to actually co-facilitating with Steve, to also seeing and reading his published works as well, which are phenomenal. Now, Steve is the author of 2 books, the first one called Freeing the Spirit and one more recently called The Prosperity Game. And he is an international facilitator, often being called around the world to facilitate works or work on magic and personal development. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to our call this evening, Steve Noble. How are you going there, Steve?
Hi, Damien. Great, thanks. It's really good of you to invite me here. Thanks very much for... yeah, having me on the call. It's very exciting to be here, actually.
Yeah,
it's been a great day, and I guess there's a lot of people on the call, which is fantastic as well.
Yeah, it's been a really popular topic.
People want magic.
They want magic.
Yeah, we'll give it to them.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to just start you off right at the very top by asking you, what does it actually mean to live magically?
Yeah, that's a great question. Many years ago, about 15 years ago, I was living a non-magical life, doing a job I didn't want to do. I was in a marriage I wasn't very happy with. I was actually probably more than 15 years, probably about 17 years now. Nothing in my life seemed to have much meaning other than get up, go to work, earn some money, pay the bills, do some family stuff, go to bed, you know. So, and then I actually hit across somebody who was teaching something called Living Magically, and I was really intrigued, and the core of the message was around you create your own reality, which was very, I was fascinated from the moment go, and I trained with this particular person for 9 years, and I got introduced to shamanism, to coaching, to a whole range of stuff that just set my whole imagination on fire. And at that point, I didn't have any idea what it meant to live magically, other than this person seemed to be living magically. She was teaching people how to live magically, and they were having results. And slowly over the years, I started to have results with this material, and I started to dive in a lot of stuff like NLP and other things like witchcraft and all kinds of stuff, really, you know, dance with witches and sat with druids and all kinds of things. So living magically for me feels like sitting more in the driving seat of my life, that I have some control or say over which direction I go, what I'm doing, who I'm doing it with, where I'm doing it. And beyond that, also a sense of in real live communication with a universe that seems to be intelligent and friendly and that responds back to me in terms of synchronicity and miracles and all kinds of amazing phenomena that goes on that has really expanded my mind about what's possible in this universe we live in and what kind of universe we actually do live in. So I guess, does that answer a little bit? I could go on, really. It's a passionate subject of mine, really. I think it's about living a rich inner life where I feel particularly joyful, peaceful, creative, playful, and open, and have a rich outer life where I'm doing what I want to do, I'm being where I want to be with whom I want to be with. I feel in a flow. I have an abundant number of resources, inner and outer. I feel connected to people and to groups, and I feel supported. I feel there's meaning and purpose in my life, which is very important because I was very lost before. And I have a powerful connection to what I think of the spiritual life, whereas before I was really looking around, searching through religion, Buddhism, Christianity, and various forms, and not finding anything. And suddenly I found something that works, where I'm in a live communication with something bigger than myself.
And did you ever think it was possible to live the life you're living today, Steve, in those moments when you were living less magically?
No, I thought that my life was spiraling downhill, and it got to a point where I actually felt it was so bad that I had to leave the planet, really, and I pressed the eject button. It didn't work because in that moment, Spirit called me back and said, you know, I remember actually being told there's hope in this moment of deep crisis, thinking, that's it, my life's over, nothing more is possible for me. And then it was really the uphill climb from that moment through various psychotherapy, through finding various magical approaches. I was at the point in my life where nothing was working, and I believed nothing would work. I was at rock bottom, planning to leave the planet, and even that didn't work. You know, the irony of that. Even I couldn't succeed in leaving the planet, you know. I thought I'm even a failure at that. So I really hit rock bottom, and it was really on the rock face of coming back up. And so I've had to try and test things. And really, it's not about, well, it sounds an interesting theory. I want to know if it works, because if it doesn't work, it's useless to me. So I'm a really pragmatic approach, really, I think.
Yeah. And how important do you think is reaching rock bottom in actually that process of turning your life around?
For some people, it's essential. A lot of my coaching clients, I had one today, actually, who's hitting rock bottom, despair. You know, I heard many years ago that we can grow spiritually or even personally two ways, through inspiration, possibility, or through desperation and extreme challenge. And some people need this extreme challenge to move them. And I'm one of those people, unfortunately. Really, you know, nothing moved me until I'd hit that place of absolute pain. Then I was prepared to do anything. Some people are moved by dreams and inspiration and passion. I am moved by those things now, but actually the fundamental core mover for me was, this is not working, do something different. And a lot of people have that, and they really need to go to the dark place, the dark night of the soul, to really come out and see the dawn. Some people don't seem to need that, and I'm not quite sure why that is, just one of those things, I guess, about human nature.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly for me, it was important that way. And I've learned also what makes a great entrepreneur by working with dreadful entrepreneurs. What makes a great magician by working with people who live in the mundane world. So I've had to go to for me, seeing what absolutely doesn't work helps me to find out what is the other side of that.
Mm. Yeah, one of the things I've seen in the work that I do is just to get people moving. Often it can be like a moving away strategy that's executed, and then once people actually move off that rock bottom or start building a bit of momentum, then all of a sudden new possibilities open, and people I've seen a lot of people actually transition to a more moving towards kind of motivation strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that something you've seen as well, Steve? Or?
Yeah, I guess, as you know, in NLP, there's these two stresses we have: moving towards something, the dream, the carrot, or moving away from the pain. And often there's a combination of these things happening together. But for the really big events in our lives, often it's the stick rather than the carrot that moves us. And then once the stick's worked, it's the carrot that gets us going. You know, and I know in your life, Damo, you had a very powerful moment, near-death experience on the motorway. Now that probably, and I know actually generally you're a towards person, but for the big things in our life, sometimes we need that stick to get us propelled forward on a more useful trajectory. And I think from a spiritual point of view, our soul, our deeper self, will use powerful moments that seem very painful, like near-death experience, divorce, redundancy, our world collapsing, as a means of getting us back on track to a more meaningful direction.
Mm-hmm. That's really powerful. Now, Steve, I was just wondering, in terms of living magically, is that something that anyone can do, or is it really just reserved for people with special powers?
Like Superman or something. Well, I believe there's a distinction that's probably important to make, that in terms of manifesting or living or anything like that, there's a number of selves inside of us. There's probably a whole family of selves that make up our consciousness, but really there's two that I'll generalize them in under two sections. One is what we could call the conditioned adaptive self, which is the part of us that thinks that the way we must live is by forgetting our true needs and desires. We need to worry about what other people want, about obligation, about duty, about family, about what people think, about the demands, fulfilling demands of other people, about manipulation and control, all those kind of things. This I call the conditioned self. So as long as we're living in that place, magic is not possible. And this is when our soul or our deeper self will try and kick us out of that place, because really, if we're living at that level of life, we're living very superficially. What our spirit or deeper self wants us to live is from our essential, more magical self. Now, this part of us is more heartfelt. It's about knowing what's meaningful, important, our values. It's sensitive. It's connected to what's going on. It can feel energy. This part of us knows that the universe is magical. It doesn't think, I wonder if I live in a magical universe. It knows and experiences, this universe is amazing, just like when we were children, running through the snow and ice and or the rain or the sunshine. We lived in a magical universe by and large, even from a young age, despite our family's best attempts to keep us or to steer us toward the conditioned self. Now, most of us didn't come from awakened families where with our parents were in touch with our essential selves. So those families wanted us, they wanted the best for us, and they wanted to steer us towards get the right job, go to accountancy school, you know, dress the right way, all that kind of stuff. When we're living from that self, magic's not possible. So we need to get in touch with this essential magical self. Otherwise, anybody can do it, but what it needs is the will to do it. Some people live far too comfortable lives. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? But in my coaching practice, I've noticed that if somebody comes to me living an extremely comfortable life saying, I want to change, they have no real desire to change, other than it's an interesting thought. You know, I had a few clients who have been paid hundreds of thousands in the corporate world and saying, I'm bored, but I want to change. But really, that desire to change is not really there, and it won't work until something really amps up that motivation for them to saying, I've got to change because my life depends on it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a powerful point. Like I personally saw lots of evidence of that in the corporate world, where people would get paid so much that they believe that they couldn't possibly leave that environment and earn the same amount of money, and then in a way just get trapped in a life or a lifestyle that's beyond what they're capable of achieving.
Yeah, they may have the Ferrari and all that, but they're not having a magical life. And probably a lot of people feel in the corporate world, I've met some last weekend who are earning extraordinary amounts of money, and they told me that their passion was to do something else, but to leave that world meant they had to take a massive cut in salary, and they didn't think they could cope with that.
Yeah.
You know, and this is when we come to, it's almost like one of those challenges that we come to. So if somebody's earning a lot of money, and of course a lot of people aren't earning a lot of money, one of the things they've got to do to reach that magical life is to trust, to have courage that there is something more, and they can cope with whatever life throws them, that they have the resources to make the journey. And every person I've met, whether they have money or not, when they decide to make that journey, they find that the resources inside them are activated, and interesting things become alive in the universe around. Strange offers of support happen, but it's just making that step. And this is what Joseph Campbell said, the hero's journey begins with the calling and the acceptance of that calling. Many people hear a calling to something greater and refuse it, and the magical life doesn't begin at that moment.
Now, is that something you personally experienced, Steve, on the path? Did you have miracles occur or support come out of the blue to guide and help you on your journey?
Well, I was living in a pretty empty marriage. Although we had two wonderful kids, by and large, myself and my ex-wife were parting ways. And I, as long as I was holding on to that marriage, saying, Universe, help me out, send me a sign, do whatever it takes, nothing was happening. I had to see, absolutely, this marriage has ended. I have to have the courage to step out, The moment I took the step, the universe responded with all kinds of miracles. The moment I left my ex-wife, I remember seeing the most magnificent rainbow that I've ever seen in my life as I was driving away from the house. And signs like that happen in response to our yearnings and actions, because if we say, I want a magical life, but I don't believe it can be possible, the universe responds with, you want it, but it's not possible. Fine. So in a way, we're in that dialogue. The universe isn't like a benign parent that will save us or rescue us. It wants us to grow on our own terms, and we have to have the faith to do that. So I've come to this point probably four times in my life, and each time I've come to it, I've recognized it. I think, oh, fuck, here I am again. Sorry for swearing here, but you can cut that bit out, Damon. But it feels like that, you know. I'm coming again to that point in one area of my life. I feel, oh my goodness, here I am again. I've got to make this journey, and it's taken every ounce of courage to make the journey. And a part of me has been saying, universe, help me out here. But I know that until I take that step, the universe will just go, great, we're waiting for you to take the step. And and sometimes people take a year or two to really take the step. And that's fine. But the journey doesn't begin until you step through the doorway and say, this is it. And I'm at that place again in one area of my life, and I'm still at that place of, oh, goodness, why do I need to do this again? You know, but that's life. Growth isn't like going to be handed to you on a silver platter. It means taking action, having courage, and stepping forward. That's the first step of magic. You know, people, I read some of the questions that you sent me, Damon, about this class, and a lot of questions on trust. But really, it's one of those chicken and egg questions that, how can I trust? Take a step, and then you'll trust, you know? But people won't take the step until they trust. But you can't trust until you take the step. You know, it's one of those really strange situations. That the moment a person says, all right, I'm going to trust and do it, everything sets into motion. The trust element begins. Then they're really on the journey of seeing, and with trust comes discernment. You can't just trust naively. You need to be testing the way. Trust isn't naivety. It's about faith to step out and then having discernment, testing the way, what's working, what's not working, which choices do I have, which ones are the best ones for me. So trust is not naivety, and trust begins with action.
Steve, you mentioned you've been through four transition points, or key transition points.
Yeah.
Now, is that something, like you've been on the spiritual path for quite a while now, is that something, this whole transition element of the spiritual path, is that something you believe will stop for you at some stage, or is it an active part that you will embrace your entire life?
It never stops. It's a 24/7 workshop for me, really. I remember when I, 10 years ago, was asked if I'd become a director of alternatives, and I said yes. And at that moment, or was it just over 10 years ago, I was really a director in name, but there came a point where I was asked to hold the whole organization and hold it and steer it. And at that moment, I felt the whole energy of it, and it was like I lived it 24/7, day in, day out. I was holding the organization energetically, At first, I thought, I don't know how to do this. But after a while, I became easier with it, and I found what worked and what didn't work. And I find now that my life is 24/7. I don't take holidays. I don't go and have a... if I go and lay on the beach, there's always a growth element in it. There's always a sense of adventure. I can't just take time out from this. In my dream state, I'm processing, and I know I'm going off into the higher realms, doing stuff and all kinds of things. I don't even remember half of it. But, you know I've been working when I wake up feeling, oh, my gosh, what have I been up to, you know? And I think at a certain level on the spiritual path, it stops being a sort of weekend workshop during the week, I'm back to my ordinary life thing. It becomes an everyday, every moment, when you're washing the dishes, when you're running a workshop, when you're speaking to your kids, everything becomes an opportunity for the universe to come through you and for you to grow and for you to serve others. So I think really... I sort of stepped closer towards it, but now I realize that in my life there's no going back. You know, when I die, it won't end. It will keep going. And it gets easier and more joyful and also more powerful, is my experience.
Well, that's a great answer, Steve. Now, Steve, you've been coaching people for quite a while now and also been facilitating workshops all around the world across lots of different cultures. And I was just wondering, like in the work that you do, how do you actually help people to live more magically?
Well, actually, I've got a workshop this Saturday, if anybody's interested, called Dreaming Your World into Being. And this workshop is being run through Alternatives. And it's about how do we consciously create miracles? What are the steps of manifestation? What about this thing about law of attraction, which is only half the law anyway? There are other laws like resonance and vibration. So I'm doing a workshop this Saturday. If anybody's interested, just check out www.alternatives.org.uk. But one of my real passions at the moment is to go around Europe and to open different countries up, because Europe is, compared to England, is just like a virgin land, and it's not so much as happening there in some part, you know, in many parts anyway. I've been traveling to Bulgaria and Italy, and actually today a possibility of Switzerland opened up, so I might follow that up. But I'm really keen on, you know, I haven't got any contacts particularly in Europe, but I just want to see if I can manifest it. Let's see if I can create seminars across Europe, and that's starting to happen. So my work is one-to-one coaching. I do spiritual coaching. I do transition coaching. I do workshops. I do, what else do I do? I'm writing a book on magic at the moment called Everyday Magic, which I'm hoping to get published. I'm meeting with a publisher very soon, which will be fantastic. So it's a whole variety. For me, I love diversity. So part of my work is just doing something different every day. You know, I don't want to do the same thing every day. I want to meet different people. I want to grow with every interaction. So, and that's by and large happening, which is fantastic. I can't describe how wonderful it is, really. My body buzzes with joy for this work.
Great.
Now, yeah, did Steve, I answer the question? I got excited there, Damo. Did I answer the question?
No, that's good. Look, it gives people a good feel for the diversity of work that you do, and certainly the calling around the world that is for the work as well.
And some years ago, I had absolute strong belief that there was no way I could change the work I did. I spent 10 years in banking. A huge amount of pain to move me from that career to local government and then into the personal development spirituality industry. You know, part of me is going through another transition of creating sort of a business, you know, my own businesses. And it's very exciting and very challenging and very scary and very amazing at the same time. As you know, Damien, just the whole thing about being an entrepreneur. It's very exciting. I guess you don't want to wake up in the morning going, I'm going to have the same day as yesterday.
Look, I certainly lived that life for a number of years and certainly have no desire really to go back there.
It's terrible.
Yeah, the whole movie of Groundhog Day came to mind.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Just living that same reality day in, day out. But I think for me personally, having lived in that kind of world and then taking a step away from it and just deciding to make things up as I go along and to play and to explore and to stand up and to fall down, it really is just a phenomenal way of living, and that real vital force of life has the opportunity to flow through you.
It's dreadful. Now, I want to give you a couple of steps to the listeners, Damo, if that's okay.
I was going to move on to the questions from the site, and probably the first question I was going to ask was a question on steps, actually, from Kush in the United Kingdom, and actually there were quite a few different people, Maria in Ireland and Murray in the United Kingdom, who asked questions about getting started. This one from Kush was, what are the first steps of knowing what you want and then to actually go about achieving these magically?
First step one is get out of your conditioned self into your essential magical self. Every day do something that feels a little scary, a little risky, that brings you a sense of aliveness. Oh, I don't know if I could do that, but hey, you know, I make it a habit to speak to strangers because it just feels like a bit risky, and or I start smoozing or flirting a little bit in a nice way with the people who sell me tea in coffee shops. You know, do things that feel a little bit risky that brings you alive. Aliveness is a fantastic quality to have. Second step is get clearer on your goals. Now, if people were absolutely clear on their goals and dreams and had no resistance to them or no opposing goals, they would definitely create them. Now, the trouble is that we usually have goals that are opposed by other goals. There is usually no clear goal that we hold that doesn't have some other thing that runs against it. So, say I have a goal of creating a business, there might be an opposing one of, yeah, but actually it's a bit scary, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready for that financial risk, how about staying safe, which is an opposing goal. start a business, stay safe. And we all have these opposing goals, and we really need to be aware of all these different goals we have, so we can get clear on the important ones and put more energy into those and consciously strip away the less important goals. The other thing is, it's really important to know what your values in life. Now, values link into goals. And a lot, most coaching clients I ask have got no idea of their values. It sounds really strange, but they have no idea. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and she was telling me a whole load of stuff, and I said, but what's important to you? She said, I don't know. And I said to her, is this important? Yes, of course that's important. Is this important? Yes, that's important. And I reeled off four or five things that she was telling me in her language that she couldn't identify. Now, it's worth just taking time out and saying, what is important to me in life? And we can do that by looking at every goal we have and saying, if I had this, what will it give me? You know, if you drive it down, like more travel might give you freedom, that's a value. Doing an MA in art might have a value of creativity, and so on. Once you find the core values, you can focus your goals through that. Well, if freedom is most important to me, what goals and dreams do I have that will give me more freedom? It's a great place to start from your most important values. The other thing to know is that we create our own reality individually and collectively. There is no such thing as luck, actually. There's been research into luck, and the research showed that we create our own luck. You know, there was a guy called Richard Wiseman who researched luck, and he found that at the end of all this study, he found that lucky people have different beliefs, different expectations, different body language, different ways of connecting with people. They take different actions than unlucky people. So luck is self-generated. We create our reality all the time. Now, there are a few laws of that, which I won't go into just at this moment, but be realistic and outrageous in your dreaming and goals. Think about the most important ones, and think about ones which are outrageous for you. Now, I've been doing this little goal thing for many years, and the most outrageous ones, which I wasn't sure could happen, have mostly happened now years down the line. They take time. To really start living magically, it's good to, at some point, to process your inner world. Your inner world, particularly your world of belief and family story. Now, in any area that you feel blocked, or you feel, I have this goal that feels out of reach, I'm not sure I can have it, there are beliefs there that are standing in the way. Now, those beliefs are usually ones about identity, about cause, about possibility. You know, I can't have this because is a causal belief. I'm not the kind of person to have this much wealth is an identity belief. I'm not sure I have the skills to do this is a possibility belief, and so on. You know, it's good to process out our beliefs, because our beliefs are the bars in our unconscious that says this is possible and this is not possible. Our beliefs form a sort of story about us, that if you want to know your story, look to your family. Your family would tell you the story of your life, really. This could be a story of I come from a family of underachievers, or I come from a family of we're all driven to succeed and none of us are happy, but we're going to be driven anyway, and so on. It goes on and on and on. You know, I had a family that the story was never enough, sort of Cinderella syndrome. We're always working hard for other people. We're always unlucky. We suffer a bit with our health. We don't have any money or any real luck coming our way. We were an unlucky family by and large. So I had to look at that family story and change it consciously and change all the beliefs that made up that story. Now, this call is a bit beyond this call for me to tell you how to do that, but it's really important to start processing your beliefs. Now, beliefs come from the family, but they also come from another source, which is past lives, other lifetimes. And imagine if you, for example, want to create something new and exciting, but in other lifetimes you've suffered badly for stepping out. You know, you may have gone bankrupt, you may have, your whole family may have suffered. That's going to be in your unconscious and stop you from doing it this lifetime. Now, if you don't believe in past lives, that's fine. If you think of Jung's collective unconscious, where all that's happened in the collective psyche of humanity we're in touch with, if it's touching you, then it's something you need to clear. Now, you know, then there are all kinds of stories, for example. Some stories are ones of you can have money, but you have no love. This is very classic in our belief system. Well, I can have this, but I can't have that. If I do the work I want to do, then I'm going to be a poor, struggling artist, and so on. You know, all that kind of stuff. You know. Now, I'll give you 10 affirming statements that I heard from Martha Beck, who's a fantastic life coach, very magical, talks about shamanism, magic. Now, I recommend you just listen to these 10 and see which ones you go, no, that's not me. This is a clue to where you need to process your beliefs and your family stories. Okay. First one is, you're a natural born winner. You always were, you always will be. If you get that, then you've got a story and belief systems that support you being a winner. The world is full of people who'd love to be your friend. If you get that, you've got healthy beliefs around friendship and love. You will always have plenty of money. You'll always have plenty of money. You deserve a life of joy and fulfillment. You deserve a life of joy and fulfillment. You are physically beautiful and always will be. You are physically beautiful and always will be. You have the potential to be wildly successful in your chosen career. You have the potential to be wildly successful in your chosen career. You are amazingly capable. You are amazingly capable. You are perfectly lovable just as you are. You are perfectly lovable just as you are. You don't have to be perfect, but you are perfectly lovable just as you are. You are highly creative by nature. You're highly creative by nature. Your dreams are coming true. Your dreams are coming true. And I'm going to add an 11th one, which is, you are always connected to spirit, always were and always will be. You are connected to spirit, always were, always will be. Now, if any of those you get a like, oh, no, that's the one to process and to expand out and to look at your family story, look at your beliefs and start changing it. There are many methods of changing belief, from affirmations, hypnosis, kinesiology. But the moment you become aware of a limiting belief is the moment that belief is most vulnerable to change. Awareness is always curative. So, and that's a few steps, really. I mean, there are many steps to this, but part of creating anything and living magically is to start doing some inner work and doing the outer work. Now, the outer work is very much action. Take a step towards what you want. Know what you want. Process what you want. Clear out the beliefs. Change your family story. Take a step towards it. Then you'll get feedback from the world. The feedback could be, I took the step, but nothing's happening. Well, there's more to process, more to do, more to amp up your energy. Now, I want to talk about one law in particular, which is a very, very important law, which isn't much talked about with all this stuff about the law of attraction, which is a powerful law, but this law of resonance is so key to everything. Now, the law of resonance says that when two bodies or two people vibrating at different rates come together, they'll seek to harmonize. Now, this is so key to manifesting and living joyfully. Now, what tends to happen is, Damo, imagine you're walking down the street, okay? You've just had a couple of coaching clients. You've just got some, been paid handsomely. You had a fantastic time with them. You're feeling joyful. You're thinking about your girlfriend. You're looking at the sun shining. People are happy. You're feeling in a real high energy state. You look down the road and there's somebody you know who's depressed. They're walking towards you. You stop, you chat. After 20 minutes, you walk past them going, God, I feel less joyful now. I don't feel quite so good. And that other person walks away feeling, I feel better for chatting to Damo. He's lifted my spirits. I feel great. The sun's shining. What's happened there is the law of resonance, that you've come down and they've come up. I don't know if you recognize that ever in your dealings, Damo, but that's going to happen in situations for people. You know.
So how do people actually get around that, Steve? So well, for people that are naturally up, how do they maintain, is there a way to, I suppose, immunize yourself against the negativity that people may experience on a day-to-day basis?
Well, what happens often in, for example, say a classic situation would be a family situation, a marriage situation, or another one would be work situation. Now, let's take a guy or a woman in a family situation who starts working on themselves spiritually, meditating, processing their beliefs, raising their energy. Now, another aspect of resonance is you need to know how to raise your energy. Now, energy, you raise energy through inspiration, passion, or anything that brings you a sense of aliveness is raising your energy. A sense of joy raises your energy. A sense of gratitude raises your energy. Now, if you're in a family and say your partner is not growing spiritually, and this is very, very common, not processing, not working. They're just going out doing the corporate thing or whatever they're doing. Your rates of vibration are increasingly going apart. So you may do the workshop at the weekend, come back to your family home and feel depressed. And that happens so much. What will happen there is there'll come a point where you have no choice but to separate. And you have no choice but to go and gravitate towards people that support your new increased level of vibration. Now that is the most common reason of divorce, is that people's core vibrations are changing. And one is increasing and the other one is not. And they're getting poles apart until they can't even relate with each other. They can't even feel each other, you know. Another one would be somebody doing a lot of spiritual workshops and going to a job that absolutely depresses them, you know. There's a person I know who's a client that does a lot of healing workshops, a lot of stuff, weekends and evenings, meditates in the morning, does a job that absolutely depresses her, absolutely. And she does a seesaw thing, you know. In the evening, raises a vibration. In the morning, meditates. During the day, bang, depressed, you know. She feels isolated. She feels not valued. She's all this kind of thing. Her resources and gifts are not being used. She's going through that seesaw, and what will happen for her is that she'll come to a place where she'll, unless that workplace changes, and of course the marriage, of course, could change, you know, but usually it doesn't. She will have to leave that workplace and find something that nurtures her new level of vibration. So it can be painful for people raising their vibration because they start disconnecting from people that were at their level before, disconnecting from jobs that may have served them, from marriages that may have served them. Part of the spiritual growth, the spiritual path of living magically, is that you're going to outgrow people and you're going to start raising your vibration beyond them, and you're going to have to get used to it. And you're going to have to start dealing with leaving one level of vibration and stepping into another. Now, for example, between marriages or jobs, there's a no man's land, you know. If you step out of a marriage, suddenly you're in that new area of, oh God, where am I? What's happening? If everything's strange, a bit chaotic, but you're in a new level of possibility where you can really draw new people into your life. So a lot of people hold on to things that have outlived them for far too long, and they really need just to take the step and go, you know what, this is complete, this is done, I need to let it go. If people listening to this call would just look at their lives and say, what in my life is complete, is finished, is done, I need to release, and if they do that, they'll find a tremendous amount of energy returning to them so that they'll know the next step, they'll know where they need to go, they'll start realigning with the flow of their life, you know. Being out of the flow is this seesaw effect of higher resonance, low resonance, higher resonance, low resonance. It's a terrible place to be in for a while until the person finds a way of stabilizing in a higher resonance place.
That's phenomenal, Steve. Some incredibly valuable stuff in there.
Yeah.
And also just to assure people on the call as well, this call is being recorded, so you will be able to go back and listen to all the amazing wisdom that Steve's sharing over the call. But in particular, those affirmations were really... really, really
They're
powerful,
great,
and I have no doubt that people will want to go back and listen to those.
Yeah.
And also, just in terms of talking about that transition, Steve, it's not a dialogue that is often bandied around openly about the fact that change can bring uncomfortability in certain situations, in relationships, in workplace scenarios. And I just wanted to really just thank you for sharing that, because I think it's really, really powerful.
There's another bit of this, Damon, that I haven't mentioned, is that
okay.
the energies of the planet are stepping up. This is another aspect to it. And people who are open and sensitive are feeling increasingly discombobulated, out of sorts, not quite sure. This is because the time is very powerful. We're in a very powerful time now. This year particularly has been very strong. Since June summer solstice, if you're a sensitive type and you've been feeling really a bit out of it, don't worry, it's normal. You need to somehow find a way of keeping your energy at this new high level of vibration, and then you'll start to settle back in. So it's another part of it. We're in a very strong time as well.
Now, I've got a question here from Christine, and Christine's in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And Christine's question was, how long does it take to adjust to this more creative way of living? So I guess in just bringing that back to, I guess, what you were talking about, the two paths, the conditioned adaptive self versus the essential magical self. How long does it actually take to make that transition?
Well, if somebody has never done any personal work on themselves and realizes that they need to do something and starts working very intensely, there are very fast ways of clearing stuff. There's some amazing stuff. There's theta healing and spiritual response therapy. And if anybody's interested in that stuff, I can probably point them in the right direction. But by and large, it takes a good 18 months to start really transiting from one reality to another. When you're really working on yourself, some of these things take time. Some people can do it quicker, 6 months. Some people, 3 months. But really, if you're talking about big transition in life, you're looking at a good 18 months to really take that step. And if you imagine you've been conditioned for 30 years in you can't have what you want, you'll never make it, you haven't got what it takes, and then suddenly you find out, you know what, maybe that stuff isn't real about me. Maybe I can change all that stuff. Now, some people have had that drummed into them so strongly that it takes a bit of work to turn it around. You know, particularly people who have been raised very early on in very strong traditions. You know, I know the Catholic faith and the Jewish faith are very good at getting kids and really imprinting them with very strong beliefs from a young age. That takes a bit more work to turn around, you know. So it depends how strongly you've been indoctrinated. If the belief system's not so strong, it can be transformed very quickly. Core beliefs can be transformed very quickly. I've been last weekend on a weekend workshop where I found 3 or 4 core beliefs and I really flipped them, and the results are already happening. But you know, if you're in a family which is imprinted at lots, layer upon layer of negative beliefs in you, limiting beliefs, you have to unravel them, and it could take a good 18 months, I think. So, but you should start to see results in time. And once you do the basic groundwork, it gets easier and easier. You know, I've been doing it for about 17 years now, and over time, you know, some parts of your life stay stable, and you just keep upping the ante. You know, you're upping what's possible. So, like building a house, you've got to build the foundations. That work is essential to do it properly, and then from there, you can build anything you like.
Yeah, and I know for me personally, just the further I go into this path and this way of living, the more exciting it gets, and it's almost like every single day that unfolds is, you know, what can possibly happen next? You know, what new adventure, what new person, what new connection, what new idea can fill my life with magic and wonder today? It really does continue to get more and more exciting.
And we really do live in a magical universe where anything, everything and anything is possible. Now, people hearing that will go, yeah, I get it up to a point, you know, but really everything is possible, everything. I've processed every area of my life practically, from money to relationships, and I've turned them all around. Now, from a personal development point of view, a lot of those things might sound reasonable. Well, if you process your beliefs about work, you might start upping the ante, and maybe you will find a better job, or you might start working for yourself. But really, magic works at a whole nother level, where I've done stuff where things like reality itself starts changing. The weather can start changing. You know, in a lot of magical systems, they work with even changing the weather. And I did that for a while. And my mind was blown away how even the weather could be affected by a focused, determined group of people. And that showed me that the reality we're in isn't what I thought it was. It's not like the scientific view is we're in a mechanistic universe where there's a cause and effect. You know, something happens and something is a result. We live in many layers of reality where just the thought can shift something like the weather, or can shift a whole reality into something else. Now, you don't even... I remember many years ago I took my son on a retreat, and he doesn't believe in any of this stuff. And we did some work down there. And even though he didn't believe in it, when he came back to London, we were doing it in the Lake District, what he asked for was there 3 times. And it freaked him out so much he never came back. So if you do some intense work, you can even bust through some strongly held belief systems. That's why I think that ritual is so powerful, because ritual really can transcend personal belief and personal story. But the thing is that you really do need to shift those core things, because your reality will snap back like a rubber band eventually if you don't, you know. Mm. So anything is possible. Anything is possible, really, I found. There is no limitation to what... I've had teachers say this to me, and the only limits are what you think is possible in your reality, really.
Completely. Excellent, Stephen. We've got a question here from Roger in the UK, and Roger wanted to know how to trust in the magic during an economic downturn.
Yeah, that's a great one, isn't it? Because the thing about collective occurrences like this is that everybody starts believing in this stuff, you know? Economic downturns are really because people start having a lack of confidence, a lack of faith, also through people's greed and, you know, some very strange actions of, you know, the whole subprime thing in America. Nobody quite knows the extent of all that kind of stuff. But the good news is that even in the economic downturn, some people prosper and do very, very well. But if you believe that because everybody else is going on a downturn, you have to also, then you're going to go down. With, you know, the collective is going to bring you with them. I have to believe that it's a good belief to hold that you can prosper while going against the herd by doing something unique and different. Now, you might think that's pie in the sky, but the second richest man on the planet, Warren Buffett, had the idea that he was an investor and he would go always against the convention, always against what the market was doing. He'd look for the opportunity that nobody else had seen. If you have that belief, then you're going to spot opportunities that nobody else is. They're all scrambling for, you know, protect their assets and cut their staff or whatever. You can see the opportunity and you can grow, you know, and that. There is opportunity even in downturns, you know, really.
Mm.
This is my experience.
That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. What's that? The majority of people are wrong, not some of the time, but all of the time. So just purely by taking the polar position to what everyone else seems to be doing, like your life will open up in ways you never thought possible.
Yeah. Magic is the path of the it's very individualistic, it's very maverick. It's not a path where, let me check around what everybody else is doing, I'll do that. It's not at all. All the old druids and witches, they were very much loners. I mean, they occasionally work in groups, but they really were their own people. And it's really, I encourage you to, if you're following your own heart values, you're not looking at what everybody else is scrambling to do, you know. Do something different. Do what you want to do. I make it a rule, actually. If everybody else is doing something, I tend not to do it, you know. If everybody is going to Ibiza on holiday in July, that's the worst place to go in July, isn't it? You don't want to go where everybody else is going. Everything's crowded and full, and, you know, that's not where you want to go. You want to go where other people are not going.
Yeah.
That's my suggestion, anyway.
Great. We've got time for one more, Steve.
Okay.
This question comes
Where's time
from
gone, you know? Where's time
it's
gone?
It's flown tonight.
Yeah.
This question's come from Cindy in Bahrain. And it's a question on synchronicity.
Yeah.
And Cindy asks, being positive and believing in synchronicity is fairly easy when all is going your way. But how does one stay positive when you are going through a really tough time?
Yeah. The key word there is positive, really, I would say. Is it Cindy, you said?
Cindy.
Cindy, yeah. The key word is positive because there's a lot of people who are what you could say positive thinkers. And at one level, positive thinking is fantastic. But when it becomes just like I'm sticking a bandage of or a plaster of positive thinking on top of a whole load of limiting beliefs about what's possible, you know, I'm going to think positive. I can do it. But underneath that is usually a belief systems that says the opposite. I can't do it. Otherwise, why on earth would you work so hard being positive? You know, when it becomes part of who you think you are, you don't have to be a positive thinker. You know, I encourage people to really look at what they consider to be negative, because in their negative thinking is all the clues they ever need to show them what beliefs they're still holding to be true. So I would say that you don't need to be a positive thinker. You need to process look at your most negative ideas about the world, and they are arrows that point back to yourself. Well, what is true about me if I believe that? Go to the core belief of it, and if you can uproot that, you don't have to be a positive thinker. Synchronicities happen just as easily in economic downturns or when things are not going well. If things are not going well, there's something to look at inside of you. You know, what is that all about? You know, for me, I entered a period of being out of the flow, and I thought, well, maybe I'll need to do some affirmations, and so I did some affirmations, and it sort of didn't help very much. I was still out of the flow, and then what I did instead was to go, what am I thinking about this? And I looked at, well, maybe I haven't got the skills to do what I want to do here. Maybe I'm not the sort of person. Maybe maybe I don't deserve it. And maybe I looked at that and thought, gosh, if that's what I think to be true, I better process that quickly. So I suggest, when you said that, that word positive leapt out, I think it really, I'd really look at the negative and go into it and unravel all those limiting beliefs, and then you won't have to be a positive thinker. You'll naturally know that everything is positive and possible in your life, is what I would say. So as soon as people use the word positive, it's a red light whenever I hear that. Positive means there's something really, what they consider very negative going on inside the psyche or inside the unconscious, you know. And it's then like, oh, God, I've got to feel positive. I've got to feel positive. What would happen if you stopped feeling positive? You know, if she was in front of me, I'd look at that and really get the truth of the situation. And then from there, that's when you can really do something. When you can see the absolute truth of the situation, you could say, well, if she believes that, let's say, I don't have... I'm not the sort of person, I don't have the qualifications to do it, bust that belief, then you won't have to start putting positive plasters on top of your limiting beliefs, really. Positive thinking doesn't work if you've got a lot of negative beliefs going on. Doesn't work.
Yeah. Brilliant. Now, we're coming up to the end of the hour, Steve.
No, Damien, no, let's keep going.
so quick. But I know people who have listened through this call this evening, or who are going to listen to this on the recording, will no doubt connect with all the messages that you've shared this evening. And I have no doubt that they're going to want to deepen their understanding of the way that you work and how they can learn more about the things that you do in the world. And I was just wondering if you could actually share how people can keep in touch with you and follow your work more closely.
Yeah, okay. So if you go to my website, which is www.stevenobel, you can sign up on the homepage for a newsletter and free regular prosperity emails, which come free to your inbox. They keep you in that flow of inspiration, because I send them to myself as well. I read them myself every day, and it's something a bit inspiring every day. It's very useful to keep that energy up, that resonance up. If you're in London or around London, you want to come to a one-day workshop, Dream Your World Into Being, happening this Saturday, you can go to alternatives.org.uk. There's also a link through my website on the events page. On the 14th of September, because I've been very taken by this whole thing of transition, we're in a very powerful time of change and energy increasing, and people come out to powerful crossroads in their lives, that with a good friend of mine, David DeAngelis, I'm running a workshop called Powerful Transitions, which is on the 14th of September, a one day in London, www.powerfultransitions.com. You can sign up for that. That's going to be a phenomenal one day workshop. So, and I'm doing other bits and pieces. If you just check on my website, under events, I'm traveling around Europe and doing various telecalls and workshops in London. So, yeah.
And how much for both of those workshops there?
Sorry, say again, Devin?
What was the price for both of those?
The first one is £65 with a concession price if you're not working. And the one on 14th of September is, I think, £85 I'm doing with David in London. So either of those, phenomenal. Come to both.
Yeah.
Or if you want to read the book, check out the book, The Prosperity Game. You know, I still read it myself. You can get it through Amazon, The Prosperity Game. You get it for about £7 on Amazon, I think.
Right. And one thing that actually came up for me, Steve, just through our chat, is the whole idea of processing our beliefs. Now, some people who've been doing this kind of work for a long time can actually quite skillfully process out their own beliefs. But for someone who's literally needing some guidance to work out what their beliefs are so they can actually start processing them out, I know that you have some very, very powerful coaching as well. I was just wondering if you could just say a little bit more about your coaching as well.
Okay, yeah. So I do one-to-one coaching. Again, you can check out the website. I do it from very practical end, which is NLP side, which really works on people through language, everyday language, because in a person's language is everything you need to know about them, although they can't see it themselves, their values, their belief systems, their dreams and goals is all in their language that they use, even if they're confused. So part of the coaching I do is help them step back a bit and go, is this important to you? Is this what you want? How do we get you from A to Z? And we could do some belief change work there. There's also a more spiritual level, which I do with something called spiritual response therapy, where I clear other lifetime vows and all kinds of things, which is very powerful. That's not for everyone, though. So I think for people who want to go away and start processing their beliefs, start asking themselves, if you want to go away and look at an area of your life, let's say work, process out your family story. Look at your family story. What did my mother say about work? And write all that out. Write it all out. Then, what did my father say about work? Write all that out. What did my peers and friends and bosses say about work? Just get it all out. Positive, negative, get it all out. Keep asking these questions about all the important people in your life. What do I say about work? Write that out. Then when you've done all that, read it all through and ring all the common bits. You go, gosh, I didn't know I felt that. I didn't know I felt that. They point all to your common belief systems, because the thing about beliefs is they're invisible to us. This is what we think. This is what the way we think reality is, but it's not. It's just the way we filter out reality and we see reality. Once you see those belief systems, you can start working on it in a variety of ways. Just even at the basic level of getting an affirmation that's the very opposite of that, start working with that. And start really looking at, is this true? Is this true? You know, what, a good work's hard to come by, or whatever the belief is. You know, I have to earn money. This is another great one for people. I have to earn money. You know, in that earning money, they cut themselves off from any possibility of receiving it from any unexpected area, you know. I had a belief that nobody in my family was an entrepreneur. So they're all hard workers. So that's who I was. I believed I had to be a hard-working person to get money. I had to change that to I could become an entrepreneur, and so on and so on, you know. It's fairly easy to do, but it's finding what a good friend and teacher said to me, Michael Breen, finding the elusive obvious. Once you found the elusive obvious, it becomes obvious, and also the way to change it is obvious.
Yeah, that's really powerful, Steve. And just to give a full endorsement of your coaching, Steve, I've certainly had the great pleasure of having a number of coaching sessions over the last 4 or so years, and like every single session that I've had with you has literally left me in a more aware, more profound state of being and state of aliveness. So anyone who is sitting back thinking about whether to do coaching with Steve, like I do fully endorse his work, and also the workshops as well. I've sat in many of Steve's workshops. I've co-facilitated with Steve as well. So they really are phenomenal experiences. And I certainly, for me personally, I'm very much looking forward to the one, the Powerful Transition one, because I think it's a really topical workshop, and I'll definitely be along there myself with my
fantastic
pen and paper ready to learn.
Yeah, fantastic.
Great, Steve. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you so very much for sharing of your wisdom this evening. Like you've had a phenomenal life experience, and the fact that you're standing up in the world and sharing all of this information so freely is an inspiration to me, and I have no doubt an inspiration to everyone who's had the opportunity to listen in this evening. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to acknowledge you and say thank you very, very much on behalf of everyone.
It's a pleasure, Damo. Thanks a lot.
Now, just in closing, Steve, I was just wondering if you had some final words for people who are on that path of living more magically, and some final words of advice.
Yeah, of course I could go on for 3 hours. And one thing that I would say to anybody who wants to live a magical life is look to the power of intention. Write down a clear, powerful intention. You know, I intend within 1 year to be doing work I love, or to be living in a place I want. The more powerful the intention, the more that energy goes out there, and the more powerful the response back from the universe. Powerful intentions, write them down, get really clear, and start putting energy into them every day. There's lots of ways of putting energy into an intention. Read them, vision board them, affirm them. You could do some magical work. You can do, you know, buy a piece of jewelry that reminds you of this intention every day. There's lots of ways of doing this. Buy a crystal that reminds you of this intention. Meditate for 5 minutes a day. Visualize you already happening, already having this intention. That sends a powerful vibe out there, and the response back will be amazing.
Excellent. Thanks very much for that, Steve. Thank you also to everyone who's been on the call this evening, and for everyone who submitted a question through the site. It really does make these these conversations that we have on a Thursday night very, very rich indeed. And it's just great to have everyone fully participating. We had a phenomenal subscription rate to this call in particular. And yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge people from wherever they are tuning in to around the world. And for the, again, for those of you who would like to listen to this recording, if you just go to the website tomorrow, peopleyoushouldmeet.com, and go to the recordings page, you'll actually find the MP3 for you to download. Okay, thanks once again, Steve-O.
Yeah, okay.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you to everyone on the call this evening, and I look forward to having you on a People You Should Meet call soon. Take care.
Cheers, David.